Now, following the failure of talks to restore an executive at Stormont, is it time for Westminster to start legislating for Northern Ireland? Amnesty International has called on the government to extend same-sex marriage rights to couples here. And the Irish language group, Conor na Gaeilge, says it's time for the British government to implement an Irish Language Act in Northern Ireland. When we're told by James Brokenshire that this is not direct rule yet, how is it not direct rule? Is it direct rule in all but name, for example? On marriage equality, here an event organised at Westminster last night by the campaign group Love Equality was held in a room booked by the Sinn Féin MP Alicia McCallion. Same-sex marriage is one of the party's red line issues for coming back into an executive. But would it be happy with Westminster legislating for Northern Ireland? Meanwhile, the DUP says if there is no return to Stormont, then decisions must be taken by the London government in consultation with local politicians at Stormont. And of course, remember that the DUP's 10 MPs are propping up Theresa May's Tory government. So will they have the final say on what decisions are made? John O'Doherty from the Rainbow Project with us today. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. Kieran McGillivan is from Conor na Gaeilge. Good morning to you, Kieran.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And the UKIP MLA, David McNary. Mr. McNary, what do you think needs to happen next? Former UKIP MLA, obviously. Morning to you, David.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. What needs to happen now? Have we got direct rule in all but name, David?
Well, we have. And in case anybody wants to forget it, we are British. The Parliament is sovereign, Stephen, and that's for all parts of the United Kingdom. And devolved powers only come about because they're given under that sovereignty. In my opinion, the ultimate act of direct rule is when you pass a budget. And when James Brokenshire takes ownership of the budget, it remains a direct rule budget, and he's in charge. And the same goes for any other legislation that he would think about putting through Parliament. He has the right to do so under direct rule. And that's the situation. There's no way of getting around it. In my opinion, once he strikes the budget, he takes control. It's his budget. This isn't a budget from a previous mandate. It's not Marcin Amelia's budget. There is no finance minister. There is a vacant office, as all offices are in Stormont. And that's where we are. It's sovereignty, and that's how it is. The power of vested in Stormont was handed to it by the Parliament.
Yeah, any Sinn Féin voter listening to this morning, you'll be winding them up.
Well, I think actually, not a question of winding them up. The Sinn Féin party
SDLP.
Have blown it. They are reduced to now to threats of joint authority. Because they've been left with no place to go under direct rule. And dare I say, and I will say it, they're letting their own supporters down, and they're letting everybody else down. Once James Brokenshire strikes the budget, effectively that is the ultimate act of direct rule. He's in charge of the purse strings, so he's in charge of everything else, and direct rule kicks in.
Well, if indeed he is in charge with everything else, John O'Doherty, are you expecting him to act now and extend same-sex marriage rights to couples here?
We do, Stephen. I mean, we expect the Prime Minister to move on this. The Prime Minister has made it very clear that she believes that the right for same-sex couples to marry should exist across the UK, but she also recognised that it was a devolved matter for the Assembly. The Assembly has collapsed. Once the Secretary of State brings forward and passes a budget, that is direct rule. And we expect the British government, who would then have rule for Northern Ireland, to move on the will of the majority of people in Northern Ireland, and indeed the will of the majority of Assembly members. It was two years ago yesterday.
Not going to happen because Theresa May can't survive without the DUP.
Well, we need to be clear, Stephen. It was 2 years ago yesterday that the Northern Ireland Assembly voted in majority to support the introduction of equal marriage. That was a petition of concern. What's clear is that the majority of people support its introduction, and the DUP's own point that decisions should be made in consultation with Northern Ireland Assembly members. We know there is a very clear majority of over 54 members who support the introduction of equal marriage.
Well, there was. You don't know what it's like now. It might have changed.
Well, unless there's been substantial changes in those who have been elected, we're very clear that there are over 54 members who support the introduction of equal marriage. That is more than we have ever had in the Northern Ireland Assembly before. And what we see from research after research is that over 70% of people in Northern Ireland support its introduction. Well, we are running a campaign for the introduction of equal marriage, which we have already won. We have a majority of people. We have a majority of elected representatives. We just don't have a mechanism for equal marriage to be introduced. And if there are those within the British government, and even the likes of David McNary, who believe that we are British and believe in British rights, then those rights should exist for every single citizen of the UK, not based on whether or not someone lives in a particular part of the UK. And it is a ridiculous situation that the UK government is allowing the rights of all UK citizens, because it's not just about those of us in Northern Ireland, it's about those who travel to Northern Ireland.
You might be calling for this, John, but you've got to look at the real life political situation on the ground here, which is there is no government without the DUP. Theresa May will not survive. So therefore, why is she going to do anything that's going to upset the DUP? You seriously think she's going to push gay marriage into Northern Ireland above the DUP's head?
I think it's if she is not going to do it, I think she needs to answer why. And we will be mobilising people from right across the UK to put that challenge to the UK government, to put it to all of our MPs, because it's not just the government who can introduce legislation. The Labour Party and others within Westminster can introduce legislation and have that voted on as to whether or not equal marriage should be passed in Northern Ireland. So it's not just the reliance on the Tory government as to whether or not this can be introduced. There are many mechanisms in which this can be introduced and addressed by the UK government.
David?
Well, I mean, John's absolutely right. I get a bit worried when I actually hear him, you know, that we are going to mobilise, we're going to do all these things. Direct rule isn't going to be good for Northern Ireland. We're in a situation where James Brokenshire, because of St Andrews, he cannot suspend the Assembly. But he can tinker it, Stephen. He could come and he could cut the pay of the MLAs. Unfortunately, 62 of them are blameless, but he could cut their pay. He could reduce the working outlets of the Assembly to a committee status. They could scrutinise these direct rule ministers. And this discussion that John and others want to put into Brokenshire's mind, that could be a way of doing it, because he has to preserve some kind of integrity for the MLAs. And just to kick in direct rule and then to keep paying them, and we're in this situation of a gap between them, I think that there's something could be done which would allow the ministers, direct rule ministers and civil service, to inform the MLAs what their policies are, what they were doing. I think that will encourage a debate and will also bring about challenges, such as the challenge that John is mentioning. But that's the way to do it. But, you know, we still, in the absence of an assembly, and with all due respect to John, I happen to believe that there are more people out there in Northern Ireland who are more concerned about health and education than they are in particularly about his rights and the rights that he has.
Okay.
And that's where people are going to draw their attention.
Okay. 030-30-80-55-55. Kieran. Morning, Kieran.
Good morning, Stephen.
Kieran, I'll come to you in 1 second. Sorry, Kieran in Limavady. Sorry, 1 second.
Good morning, Stephen. Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
I want to take issue with David McNary. He said we're all British and that I don't class myself as British. I class myself as an Irishman. Having said that, I lived in Birmingham, London and Dublin, everywhere, over even in Europe. I would like to say to David McNary, there's Irish people that loves in this part of the six counties.
Well, and that's a well-rehearsed argument, which, of course, you're entitled to
vocalise, Kieran. I'm not finished yet.
Yes. Well,
the only way they deal with this here is that what Britain done with China, they give 25 years to Hong Kong to join China.
Okay, Kieran, thank you very much indeed. Right, Kieran from Conrad and Gillig. Morning to you again, Kieran.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Kieran. Are you serious when you're calling for the British government to implement an Irish Language Act here without local agreement?
Very much so. I mean, I think just to bring it back to the conversation earlier around how practical this would be, given that the DUP are now in coalition with the Conservative Party in Westminster, I think it's important that we remind ourselves what the commitment that Theresa May and James Brogan-Sarr provided to people in the North very clearly at that time was that in spite of this coalition, that they would remain impartial, that they would carry out their obligations and their functions with complete impartiality. What we have in relation to the Irish Language Act campaign is underpinned by a commitment made by the British government in 2006 in relation to introducing the Irish Language Act.
Well, can they be impartial? How can they be impartial if they're being propped up by the DUP?
Well, this is the first
genuine test of their
impartiality. Well, this is the first genuine test of their impartiality, and we'll obviously be keeping a very close eye on that. But we were reminded by the DUP and others, but in particular by the DUP in recent months, that they told us that they didn't say not to St Andrews. The commitment in relation to an Irish Language Act was made clearly by the British government. In the absence of a functioning assembly, in the absence of an executive, that obligation is now live. That obligation now is squarely at the foot of the British government, and it's up to them to introduce it. And we have precedent on this. The British government previously has introduced legislation in relation to Welsh and also into Scots Gaelic. So we would expect this to be dealt with immediately once the process of the regular is formalised.
You know it's not going to happen. Yeah. You've seen the deadlock over the Irish Language Act in Northern Ireland. You know, Kieran, there would be absolute mayhem in this country if Brokenshire implemented anything like an Irish Language Act without some type of negotiation having been achieved between the two big parties.
Well, Stephen, we had negotiations and they were called the St Andrews Agreement in 2006 in which this commitment was given. The British government, I mean, I think it will be incredibly divisive if the British government were able to renege on a publicly stated commitment made over 11 years ago. We're still waiting on that to be introduced. The British government themselves made this commitment, and here we are now, 11 years down the line. We were told over the previous 10 years of power sharing that because of the Sol Convention that the British government couldn't intervene on these issues. That is what the British government have been telling the Council of Europe. That's what they've been telling the UN. In the absence of the Assembly, then that falls squarely back on them. Are we seriously going to accept, and in a modern democracy, as we're being told that we live in, that it's okay for governments to make commitments and then to renege on them publicly?
Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Good morning. Somebody commented, or people comment frequently about getting people, the government back in power again. And it was said on your TV show, Nolan Live, about this health waiting list, we need to get them back to do the job. They've been doing the job for the past 10 years and they haven't addressed a lot of the fundamental issues.
Yeah.
I mean, this assumption that if we get Stormont back, all of a sudden waiting lists are going to disappear is cloud cuckoo land.
Yeah.
You could actually argue that politicians run the country who aren't answerable to the local electorate have more chance possibly of bringing through change that will actually improve the situation, which is a sad reflection on the main politics, the main politicians.
That's a really interesting point, actually. So what you're arguing is, look, when we're saying about all of these public services that are in a state needing fixing. And one argument is, well, we need local people in there, our local ministers, so we can hold them accountable. Actually, look what they've done over the last decade or so. They haven't exactly been praised by everyone in terms of the health service and the changes that have been needing to be made for many, many years. So let's let an outsider do it.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily blame the politicians because, you know, it's a simple fact that if you were to say we're going to have to rationalise the health service and others rationalise different sites and, merge different, bring heart operations all to one area and this sort of thing and acute services, everybody's going to want their own hospital kept. I mean, we're all guilty. We're no different from our politicians in that respect. We all want to have a local hospital that does everything for us. Whereas the reality is we can't afford that. And the same with education. We haven't changed. I mean, it's 20 years since the Good Friday Agreement, and Billy and Paddy still go to separate primary schools. You know, we have a third. We take pride and we have this third sector, the integrated sector. Why do we have two sectors? Why do we go to the expense of running, you know, a Catholic sector and basically a Protestant sector? And the expense of that and teacher training with, what, five different places you can train to be a teacher in a province the size of Yorkshire? It's madness.
It's not going to make a difference to that.
What won't?
Saying directors not going to make any difference to that.
Well, when they went to close St Mary's, they save something like £500,000 a year, or maybe more than that, actually. I can't remember the exact figures now. When the Alliance Minister wanted to do it, he was blocked by Sinn Féin. Now, if an English minister decide we have too many teacher training colleges, we're going to close one of them, who's going to block him?
He's not going to be an English minister. He is going to be a representative of the sovereign parliament in an interim measure. That's what direct rule is.
Yes, but he's not.
What we do need to know, Alec, and you have a point, is he is going to be in charge of the spending of this budget. Not only is he going to strike it, he's going to take the decisions as to what the money's spent on. And that's what we need to see, is the release of funds, how he's going to allocate the money to the various departments. And, of course, I hope that we're also going to see this big cash cow that's coming from the DUP back in for Theresa into play. So we'll have a lot more money to play with.
But I don't think we should be terribly fanciful
about what a direct rule minister is going to do. This is Hamlet, Brokenshire. To be or not to be, that is the question. And if he behaves in charge of the funds the way he's been in charge of the talks, well, he will be dithering all day long.
Okay, we'll pause there.